coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Welcome to Hagman. HagmanReport.com, that's HagmanReport.com, two N's on Hagman. Please bookmark that that site. And at the top, you'll find a banner. Click on the banner. It'll take you to our show page. There you can find all of the episodes right there, right there. And then do me a solid as well favor, please. Subscribe to us on Rumble. Yes, you've got to create an account, but that allows you to comment like on YouTube. Okay, it's, but we need to populate that and tweak the algorithmic, search, parameters there. So subscribe to us on Rumble. And you can also subscribe to us on Brighteon. Every episode, I try to include the Brighteon episode or link to the episode on Brighteon as well. Of course, that's Mike Adams' site. So, you know, I mean, whatever you prefer. So there it is. So, Rumble and Brighteon. It is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. I never thought I'd be saying that. Didn't think I'd live that long, but, here we are. America held hostage day number 85. And a lot of things to get into very quickly. And then Richard Proctor, ProVisInstitute.com, coming on for a great show. He's got some exciting things to tell you. And I can't wait for him to come on, but I just want to hit a couple of things very quickly. This is kind of a encapsulated news buzz, if you will. Of course, Bernie Madoff assumed room temperature. You know that. If you've been listening to the news today, Bernie Madoff is no longer with us on the earthly plane. And, he's known for, of course, the swindles and scandals. Senator Rand Paul yesterday took Fauci, that's fascist Fauci, to task, saying that he should be removed from television and from media for reckless fear-mongering. Well, that's, yeah, okay. And it's interesting as I follow through with these, as I follow through on message boards and look at message boards, like, so you don't have to, especially the liberal slash progressive slash communist message boards. You can see the push to, these non-vaccines. Okay. These are not vaccines. That's my disclaimer for now. These are not vaccines. They're not FDA approved. They're approved under the emergency use authorization, but they're not FDA approved. They're not vaccines. These are genetic manipulation tools. All right. That's just understand that
and the CDC says you can still get the virus.
And that's right. And you still have to mask up, not one, but two masks. And Eric the Tech, you know this. I mean, Eric the Tech,
Ziploc bags, man.
There you go, brother. I'm done. Hey, Eric the Tech walks the walk and I mean, he talks the talk, but he walks the walk. He actually has helped many people decide not to get the vaccine. I think we're up to, I don't know, a dozen and counting. He personally is responsible for that, and I appreciate that. We are putting, doing our task or our mission of putting up, signs. So if you see, signs around our area about the, non-vaccine and about the COVID lie and about the, when I say COVID lie, I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party virus response to that lie. Yeah, that's us. That's us. So there you go. All right, so we also have just riots in Minneapolis and also takeovers and restaurants, so to speak, in Dallas. And I got something to say about that here momentarily. But first, I want to get into this. This is really interesting. And then again, Dr. Proctor in the wing is going to be coming on, and he's going to have the time to discuss what he wants to discuss. But Nancy Pelosi. Think about this. Now, again, this may seem boring to you, but in the grand scheme of things, all of this is kind of related. Whether we talk about the southern border, whether we talk about the riots, whether we talk about war, global war. Steve Quayle's going to be with me tomorrow. Steve and I are going to have a conversation about that. Regardless of what we talk about, these are all related because the same people have got their mitts into the same things. But Nancy Pelosi's husband buys Microsoft ahead of big government contract. So when you look at the Pelosi family stock trades, as I'm doing right now, and I should have sent this graphic to you, but I didn't. It's on thestreet.com, thestreet.com. That's where this is. Kudos to thestreet.com. You can see a chart of the Pelosi family stock trades. Well, wouldn't you know, ahead of big government contract, the Pelosi family buys stock in Microsoft. On 3/19, which was March 19th, about less than a month ago, the Pelosi family spent between $1 million and $5 million in a stock trade of Microsoft. And then again, let's see, there's two different Microsoft transactions, Roblox transaction and AB transaction, all within 45 to 60 days. But the interesting part about this, and I got a very short clip here, actually two small clips to show you from the Hill that explains this. The first part kind of introduces it, and the second part explains it. It's pretty interesting because Pelosi, now understand, she's responsible for and has insight into all the military contracts, so she would know. And Microsoft had done some things to provide the military with some augmented reality tools. All right. She knew this going into this deal. She knew this ahead of this deal. So she was able to capitalize on that information. This insider allegedly capitalized on this, or allegedly knew this ahead of time to capitalize on this deal. Well, I wonder what Richard Proctor has to say about that. And I'm going to ask him about that, because this is really illegal enrichment using insider trading, in my view. Let's play clip one. It's a minute and it's a brief clip. Let's play clip one from the Hill. Oh, I got to give him Eric's text over there eating Chipotle and saying, hey, give me more heads up on this. Okay. Okay. You ready to go? Okay. Here we go. Watch us.
Got some reporting on some big stock trades from Speaker Nancy Pelosi. This is from Unusual Whale Stock on Twitter. Okay. So this is actually pretty significant. She just exercised 10 million in Microsoft shares that was back in mid March. Then lo and behold, Microsoft landed this blockbuster $22 billion contract with the military. This is related to their augmented reality headsets for their troops over the next decade. She also apparently just bought $1 million in Roblox stock. My son, who's 7, is absolutely obsessed with that game. You can see some other big moves here involving Amazon, Facebook, Tesla, and others. And look, I mean, this is an extremely bad look, at the very least, for the Speaker of the House. And at worst, it's outright corrupt and has the potential and the appearance of potentially using insider knowledge about where the U.S. government is headed, access to that knowledge. Of course, if you're Speaker of the House, you may be able to have special insights into.
Okay, you get the idea going into this. Now, I'm going to leave this up here for a second. Because of the way this video file is, unfortunately, it's not working properly. If you want to advance that from here, a minute. I don't know if you can see in the preview screen, Eric the Tech, when the gentleman starts to speak, that's when I want, then he gives an explanation. All right. So we're going to give him a second. And then coming up right after that, I've got one other thing I want to just update you on, and then we're going to bring Dr. Richard Proctor on. But this is so important. This is critical. This is the exact opposite of what happened to President Trump, or what President Trump did. Folks, understand this. President Trump lost a ton of wealth. I mean, $1 billion estimated in wealth serving his country over 4 years. What's that?
I think I'm close to that.
Okay. All right. So as opposed to people going in and enriching themselves, whether it's a congressional post or a Senate post or somewhere in the cabinet, this is happening. This is happening, and it's got to stop. Go ahead and try. Give it a try.
Nancy Pelosi is the seventh richest person in 2020 in Congress. She has a net worth of $114 million, $114.7 million. Is it so much to ask to say that the number three person in line for the presidency of the United States should have to liquidate their stock holdings and, or at the very least, not actively trade stocks while in office? Presidents put their stuff into blind trusts, which isn't enough, but is better than this. This is, you're outright playing the market when you possibly could have access to non-public information. Is the FBI going to look into this? No. It's pretty hard to prove. You hear something from this person. I mean, this person is involved in writing the NDAA. This person is involved in writing the laws and the grants, which would benefit all of this. So, once again, maybe I'm nuts. I just think that this is completely undermines trust in the system. Who knows if it's illegal? We'll have absolutely no idea. But it's awful convenient, right, in order to see how much money these people... Do you really need the money? All right. You don't. You have $100 million.
That's arbitrary. Look, what would I do? Seriously, I don't know what I'd do with $80 million or $100 million. I don't know. I'd certainly try to help as many people as I could. That's one thing. I mean, you certainly can use that. But anyway, that's beside the point. The point is this. The self-enrichment by these people, by Pelosi, and by others, including the Republicans, including the... Look, it just happens all the time. So watch this, because this is, to me, this is going to be one of those tripwires that are going to be sending the average individual into orbit. Now, very quickly, there's a... I just want to comment on this. They're coming after our guns. And again, I want to get the insight from Dr. Proctor. They're coming after our guns. Greg Reese did this absolutely extraordinary report. It's about 3 minutes long. And then I'm going to take you back real quick to 1992. All right. And I'm going to, I don't know if folks, if you remember this from 1992, but let's hit Greg Reese's 100-year plan to disarm America, and we're getting close to that 100-year mark. And when are you ready for that?
The first attack against our Second Amendment was the National Firearms Act of 1934. Official reason for this unlawful act was mob violence and the attempted assassination of President FDR. This treasonous legislative act made felons out of law-abiding citizens who lawfully owned automatic rifles, silencers, and short-barreled rifles and shotguns. Anyone with a modicum of awareness could see the blatant authoritarianism. Law-abiding citizens were being punished for the inevitable crimes of evil men. The next assault on our Second Amendment rights was the 1968 Gun Control Act, officially motivated by the assassinations of JFK, MLK, and RFK. This unlawful legislation banned mail-order gun sales, created a federal licensing system, and reclassified various military weapons into newly created categories that required federal registration, once again turning law-abiding citizens into de facto felons with the stroke of a pen. An unalienable right is a right that can't be restrained or repealed by human laws. Since we are all human, we are born with certain inherent, natural, and unalienable rights. Those rights include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This essential equality means that no one is born with a natural right to rule over others without their consent, and that governments are obligated to apply the law equally to everyone. But President Biden says that these rights are not absolute.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
With an insidious executive order, Joe Biden is, once again, unlawfully turning millions of law-abiding citizens into felons with the criminal stroke of a pen, introducing red flag laws that provide family members a legal process to bar people from owning guns, and nominating gun control advocate David Chapman as director of the ATF. Confiscation is next, and all this while police departments are defunded and criminals are set free. You thought your government was there to serve you? You were wrong. And this is why we have guns. This is why we have the Second Amendment. We have made our lives very comfortable and convenient, but we are still living in the jungle. Millions every year defend themselves against violent crimes with the gun. They protect themselves against rape, robbery, and physical harm. According to the CDC, as many as 3 million crimes each year are stopped by a law-abiding gun owner, over 8,000 each day. In a reality where the most dangerous threat is a man, guns are the great equalizers. There are dangerous, evil human beings among us who wish to control and dominate. Many of them are running our government and attempting to take away our ability to defend ourselves. Prior to the Bill of Rights, when did the people ever have a chance against tyrannical government? And when these rights are taken away, then the people will forever become slaves to the system. For Infowars.com.
All right. That was Greg Reese, InfoWars. And what he was talking about is the same thing that Dr. Richard Proctor speaks of in his book, Saving the Constitution, in various parts. The Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, what it means, militias, the whole nine yards. It's in this book, Saving the Constitution. Go to provisinstitute.com. Before I bring him on, yes, one more, but this is so important. Folks, you remember Rodney King riots back in South Central Los Angeles back in 1992, okay? Compare that to what's happening today. There's a big difference. Sam Andrews comes on, has come on and talked about his role in protecting property and people back in that time period in what he did, okay, in assisting others and what the FBI, what the ATF, what the local police departments, how they fought back. Isn't it interesting? We see the police and such fighting back against or protecting Antifa, protecting BLM, and fighting back against the American people. Now, you saw what Greg Reese reported. You read what our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, our Second Amendment, what it states in here. You see how it's been perverted. Now, go to 1992, and this will show you historically. This will give you historical context into what's happening today. Pay very close attention, especially at the end, to the language by the newscasters who are complete numbnuts, okay? I'm telling you, they're just morons. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but you'll get the idea. But really take in this historical account going back to 1992 and remember those times. Here, watch this, and I'll bring Dr. Proctor on after this. Go ahead.
Police response was no response.
And the riot started. The police tried briefly to try and do something about it. They got overwhelmed, and it was a command decision to pull back. And it was almost like, let them destroy themselves, let them kill themselves, let them do whatever they want. We'll just make sure they're on the perimeter, they don't move out of this area. And that's basically what the police did.
I talked to two of the people who were among the gang people who were at Florence and Normandy, and when the police retreated, they assumed the police were going to come back in force. I mean, they may have been thugs, but they weren't stupid because they were going to do when the police came back in force, they were going to leave, as anybody in their right mind wondered, but the police didn't come back.
While the mainstream media was busy covering the massive burning and looting in Los Angeles, the Korean ethnic media was reporting the human stories of how the Korean merchants were caught completely off guard. They had to witness the years of hard work go up in flames literally within hours.
There is no doubt that Korean Americans were targeted. On this one street in South Central, black businesses on one side of the street were spared, while Korean businesses on the other side were wiped out.
The riot that ensued was a race riot. People were targeted on the basis of race. Black people put on their stores or their doors, black-owned, blacks live here, and were left alone. Several minority communities were targeted. There were 58 people, of course, murdered. But the main brunt of the attacks was the Korean community. I think 2,000 Korean businesses were destroyed, a statistic that was if it was appeared in the press, was wildly underplayed.
This is in South Central LA, Crips and Bloods, stop fighting. Because we got a real fight going on right now.
2 years down the drain. I mean, can't people realize what they're doing is wrong? This is not the way to overcome racism.
저기 헬로콥터가 뜨고 우리 정원은 프론트맨에서 지들끼리 더 무섭고 더 먼저 도망을 가고요. 나랑 우리 남편은 이제 어떻게든 그냥 정말 나오는데도 우리는 살아나온 것만 해도 정말로 다행으로 살아서
왔어요. Really pay attention after this.
우리 남편은 하루 12시간씩 오픈도 크로즈 했고요. 우리가 미국은 지 16년이 됐는데 쟤밖에 안 남았고.
We were showing some of this to you live earlier. Then what happened? Apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side, and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back, and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. There were bullets flying all over. And here you can see, this is where they see the cars pull up, and they start to shoot back. And they start to take cover. Realizing, I think, what they had started there, but there's just a simmering point, and they boiled over.
Boo-hoo. We don't need no stinking badges. The horror. Well, that could be a Tech 9, a Mac 10, not necessarily an Uzi. Now, pay attention. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, you want to approach south on La Brea or east or west on Melrose. Do not approach north on La Brea. Do not approach north on La Brea. That's a blind spot.
That reminds me of back in the 60s, Charles Whitman in the tower at University of Texas. Look at this guy.
It doesn't look like he's defending a store or anything. It just looks like he's taking pot shots, doesn't it?
He looks like a wacko with a gun to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I had to leave that last part in. Okay, thank you. I had to leave that last part in. Looks like a wacko with a gun, comparing it to Charles. I mean, are you out of your mind? Okay. So, saving the Constitution.
I guess you're a wacko if you're protecting your business.
Exactly. You know, there's so much more.
Is that a registered firearm?
Yeah. Well, you know, you got it. You know,
what does it matter?
Hey, let me stop and check the registration. Yeah, okay. As the buttload of criminals, carload of criminals. It's just amazing. But see, we have a duty, folks. We have a duty. You and I have a duty to know what our God-given rights are, and we know what they are. But we also have a duty to be articulate in explaining them, and that's where saving the Constitution has come in. And that's where Richard Proctor, who's been very patient with me for the first segment here, I had to go through this because what you're seeing in 1992, 29 years ago, is coming again to America with as the Chauvin trial goes through its paces. And it's not going to just, I mean, it's not going to be just that. There's going to be more. So we are all going to be Koreans. I did have some other things that I wanted to get into, but I'm not going to do that. I want to direct people to Owen Schroyer at InfoWars, his stellar work at the southern border, getting into the MS-13 component of people coming into the United States. You know, heaven has a wall and a strict immigration policy. Heaven has a wall and a strict immigration policy per the Bible. Hell has open borders. Just saying. With that, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, ProvisInstitute.com. It'll be in the program description box, the link there. Get Saving the Constitution. He's doing yeoman's work, God's work, getting people educated, having meetings, talking to people. He's doing God's work. And if you want to have a meeting with Dr. Proctor, please get a hold of him. His contact information is at ProvisInstitute.com. Dr. Proctor, thank you for your patience. Thank you for waiting to come on, and let's talk.
Sure. Here I am, and I'm glad to be here. I want to mention something.
Yep.
You know those guys with the guns, the Koreans with the guns protecting their business?
Yep.
If they had been militia, all they have to do is be sworn in by the sheriff. It had been completely legal with no question.
You know, I actually was thinking about that when I found that video, because I was doing some research and I was thinking about that. Now that happened very quickly. That happened within 36 hours. Okay. But we have time now.
But we're not taking advantage of it. Sure, something happens in 36 hours. You do something before it happens,
right?
Like right now today, while it's come up peaceful, and then you get these people who have weapons, you get them signed up into a militia organization using the sheriff or the city council or somebody, and you now are legal and do your thing.
Actually, okay, so in my county, and let me ask this, because in my county right now, I've had a couple of inquiries about, can you help us form a militia? This is my county, Erie County, Pennsylvania. And I said yes. And as a matter of fact, I will approach Dr. Proctor and ask specifically what steps that they should take or I should assist them in taking. So is it the sheriff or is it the county council? Now, we are a commonwealth, and if that makes a difference as opposed to a state, does it make a difference?
The Constitution says state, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Declaration of Independence says alter a government who's taking away your inalienable rights. If the state won't perform, you don't just lay down and say, oh, woe is me. You go to the sheriff. If the sheriff won't perform, then you go to the city council. If the city council won't perform, and your authority is the Declaration of Independence. But first do all the steps so that nobody can say, well, you just run roughshod over folks.
Right.
No. Do it in a sequence. To form a militia, those are the steps. But if you get to the last one, then someone in the community who wants to protect, like those Korean guys, they go to the they bring out the Declaration of Independence. They underline those sentences. The state won't denies us our rights. The county denies us our rights. The city denies us our rights. So we're using the Declaration of Independence, and we're asserting our rights in that authority. And then sign up and be a militia of the Declaration of Independence.
All right.
Done.
So I've got, right now, I've got four individuals, residents of my county, okay, who have sent me emails and asked if there is some sort of written verbiage that's necessary to submit, to sign and then submit to the sheriff. Is there a template or is it?
No.
Okay.
I tell you what, just make a list. Phone number, address, name, that's all. Don't put your weapons down. Just put that down.
Okay.
Nothing more. And get together with the sheriff. But remember, this whole thing depends on the state first, then the county, and then the city, and then the community, in that order. Now, Noah Davis has all kinds of written stuff to help people pass resolutions of county sanctuaries. You could have a city sanctuary with the same rules. You could have a community sanctuary with the same rules. Noah Davis, at his website, constitutionalsanctuaries.com, has this information. Go there for more than I just gave you. But what I just gave you is really sufficient.
Okay.
The Declaration of Independence makes it legal. That's what the guys used in the Revolutionary War. We are in 1776 today, just as accurately as they were then. There's no difference. It's just which government it was.
And I thought of saving the Constitution in that Greg Reese video talking about the Bill of Rights and about the Declaration of Independence. And I thought about, you know, what you've written in your book, again, Saving the Constitution. And I thought, boy, how appropriate. And then, you know, taking a look at that 100-year agenda and where we're at today, and then going back 29 years to see where we were, and we're repeating the same thing today. So anyway, Saving the Constitution, it really kind of outlines that. And of course, Noah Davis's site that you've referenced, folks, you can access information on that. So, okay, time's yours, my friend. What's on your agenda? What's on your plate?
Oh, interesting enough. I'm going to go back to the Pelosi stuff. You know, I remember Paula Deen. Do you guys remember Paula Deen?
She
was a cook. Yep. She was a cook on the Cooking Channel, and she was such a good cook. And she did something, just a little small thing. Very little. What resources does she? They put her in jail. Call it insider trading and put her in jail. She spent a year in jail.
What I know the story behind that.
Pardon?
I know the backstory behind that Paula Deen, quote, insider trading business. And what they did to her was criminal.
Oh, always. These people always treat everybody criminal, but Pelosi won't be touched.
Right. Right.
Do you think maybe there's a double standard here in our country? The wealthy, let's just talk about something real quick on this very subject.
Sure.
Yes, it's time. It's time. Do you guys remember in the Constitution it talks about, it's the 10th Amendment, I believe it is. It talks about a nobility and rights of that sort. I think we'll find it in the 10th, not the 10th Amendment, the 10th article of the First Amendment. No, it's not. Well, let me just say without worrying about being precise. I wish I could be precise all the time, but let's just talk about it. The Constitution says there'll be no honors or nobilities, titles of nobility in the United States of America. But it does not put a penalty on it. It just says there'll be none. Now, what are titles of nobility?
Let me just jump in here. Article 1, Section 9, Paragraph 8. That's what you're
Thank you very
for.
Much. I will go there and read it. Thank
Article
you very
1,
much.
Section 9,
Paragraph 8.
Right.
Thank you very much. No titles, no title of nobility. Appreciate that. Shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, accept any present emolument, office, title of any kind, wherever, from any king, prince, or foreign state. That's very clear, except the word emolument. What does that mean? That means any benefit at all. Now, the people in the colonial times were so fed up with moneyed classes. Does that ring a bell? Moneyed classes? So fed up with barons, money classes, nobility coming in and lording it over them, pretending like they had no more rights than anybody else, ignoring this paragraph in the Constitution completely. And the people were fed up. 1809, they wrote an amendment that says no titles of nobility. Okay? No emoluments, all that kind of stuff. If anybody does that at all, they lose any opportunity to serve in the government, federal government, and they lose their citizenship to this country. Both. It was very firm. There was a significant punishment. That's put the teeth in this paragraph we just read. That's what the teeth was to make this paragraph work. And then in 1868, just after the Civil War, the bankers and the attorneys quietly threw that out. Very quietly threw it out. There was a congressional resolution signed by Lincoln taking the 13th Amendment that existed for the last 50 years and replacing it with the 13th Amendment that they just wrote. And the 13th Amendment of 1819, when it was ratified, is still in force, but it isn't there. It should be there. It's in all the history archives of the states that say it's there. They show it. It's in their records. They can pull it out and show it to you. Guys, that's what happened. When the government decided they didn't like something, the attorneys, and the bankers hid it.
So the original, you're talking about the original 13th Amendment, not the 13th Amendment.
Yes, there are two.
Right. The original 13th.
There are really 13th Amendment today.
Right.
And I think it was in Pennsylvania. Not sure about that state, but I could find it if somebody wanted me to. That state had both of them in their archive constitution. They went 13-1 and 13-2, and then they went to 15, or 14, and then they went to 15. How about that? The 14th Amendment was then eliminated, and it was 13 and 13 and 15. That's what happened, folks.
But you know,
then they took the 14th and put it in place of the first 13th and press on. Yes.
Okay. So, but what you were saying, you know, the origin of this, and folks, this is why this book, I like this book so much, is when you go back to Article 1, Section 9, Paragraph 8, okay, about, you know, hey, we're sick and tired of this, you know, high class nobility, you know, get rich off of us, off our backs and off our sweat. That's my version of Article 1, Section 9, Paragraph 8. And you look at Pelosi and, we're sick of this kind of BS. But this is something that's to me exclusive to saving the Constitution. What Richard Parker points out, and I'm going to read this verbatim because this is important. In this book, what he points out is this. It's interesting to note that Hillary Clinton violated this paragraph constantly, using the Clinton Foundation accepting payments from foreign countries while Secretary of State. No one has ever pointed this out. And that's true. Now, Charles Ortel did and has done so, but subsequent, I think, to the publication of this book. So, but this is probably because the federal government is staffed by many individuals that also violate this rule and don't really care about you and me. Okay, so that's from Saving the Constitution. And that's how valuable this book is. So great job on that. Yeah, thank you for that.
Anyway, so this is what we're talking about. Now let's look at this gun control law, executive orders. Now I'm going to read you another paragraph of this Constitution because it's important. Article 1, Section 1, Paragraph 1, all legislative powers. Does that say something, all legislative powers? Legislative powers means law powers. So we could substitute the word all law powers or all powers of law. herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. It does not say Supreme Court if it wants to. It does not say executive orders are okay. That's all garbage. Laws are done by the Congress federally. Laws are done by the legislature state. No other person. Period. That's what this book says. And on Article 6, very clearly says, I'll read that again. I like to come back to this because it's so very important. The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several states and all executive judicial officers, both of the United States and the several states, shall be bound by an oath to support this Constitution, which means there's no executive law, no Supreme Court law. In fact, the homosexual garbage was started with the Supreme Court said it's legal. That's the Supreme Court, not the legislatures. In every state of the union and the federal government, there were laws that said it was illegal. The only one who backed those laws was Kim Davis, and the judge threw her in jail.
Period.
That says the whole story, you guys.
Yeah.
Are they honoring their oath to the Constitution? Absolutely not. They don't care. Alter the damn government or abolish it. Did I say that?
I hope so.
I'm
behind you on
that. And I know how to do it without a gunshot. But nobody cares. I was talking to a gentleman in my environment here today. And I pointed out some very important things, and he agreed with them 100%. I says, well, then why don't you invite me to your home with 10 people, and I'll help people understand this? No, I don't think so. Now, he didn't say, no, I think so, but he meant it. No, I don't want to be bothered. Oh, yes, right, we need to do that. No, I don't want to be bothered. Yeah, we need to do it. These are his sentences, one after the other. I mean, yes, we need to do it. No, I don't want to be bothered. Yes, we need to do it. No, I want to be bothered. I can't believe it.
I General Flynn had made a statement at a recent appearance. 2% of motivated people can beat 98% of indifferent, people of indifference 100% of the time. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said it more eloquently than me. But we're back down to percentages. We're back down to the people who really care. We're back down to people who, look, I've got nothing to lose. Okay. I'm a guy that I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot. Okay. So I don't have a lot to lose. You can try to sue me. What are you going to get? Not much. You could try to, take stuff away from me. What are you going to get? Not much. But I'm motivated and I've got a legacy and I care about both. Or care about the legacy, and I'm motivated. So what you said, people, can we do it? We can do it with 2% of the population with 98% being indifferent, can't we?
Yes. Now, remember, I keep talking about having these meetings, and people say, well, I can't get my people to do it.
Yep.
I understand. I just faced it again. Remember the handout that I send out to anybody who wants it?
Yep.
Just hand that out. If you hand it to 100 people and you find one, it was worthwhile. If you find it to 100 people and 99 don't take it, don't worry. Find the one. Find the grain. Find the grain, the wheat grain among all the chaff. Find the one. That's what we've got to do, folks, because if we don't get the ones all together, we won't do nothing. And I'm willing to teach any group that wants. There's no charge. Just have a book that you're going to get for $13.50. Postage went up. $13.50. Just get a book.
That's all.
That's less than a meal at McDonald's.
Now, you've had meetings, and they've been very, very.
Oh, yes. They're very successful.
Successful. And
yes.
Folks, you know what? It's real simple. I mean, I would urge you to do that. As quickly as you can. And that'll give you time with Richard Proctor, kind of one-on-one or 10-on-1, whatever you want to call it. And, he'll get up close and personal with you folks by way of by way of Zoom.
Not Zoom. Skype.
Skype.
Not Zoom.
Whatever.
Skype, it's very important that it be different there.
Okay.
And it's not whatever. It's very important.
All right. Skype.
I'm in meetings in Zoom, and there's a whole bunch of people all over the country. None of them have a – there's no group synergy or not. Nothing really happens. They go to sleep. Skype. They're sitting there watching you. They're all in a group together. Okay. They're answering questions. They're looking at each other. They're talking about it. In Zoom, nobody does that. Why? Because they can't communicate, or they don't communicate with each other because they don't see each other. They think they're by themselves. But if you're in a Skype meeting, then everybody knows everybody.
Got it. All right. All right. So, you know, reach out to Dr. Proctor, Richard Proctor. The email address will be in the program description box, or go to provisinstitute.com there and schedule your meeting, because it's that easy. 10 people.
I want to mention one more thing.
Sure. Go ahead.
Zoom costs money. Skype is free.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, Zoom has certain applicational benefits, but not
yes,
this.
Does.
Not this. So that's good. Okay.
Not this. That's right.
All right.
And I'm talking to people who don't want to spend a lot of money. Okay, I agree with that. We reduced the price of the book down to 13 from 20. We reduced the price of the communication. It's free. That's reduced. Yep. What's there left? Why would anybody resist? Yet they resist like I can't believe. So pass out that form. I'll send it again to anybody who wants it. Just send me an email. I'll send it to them again. Let them see it. They can use it all you want. Make a ream of them and pass them out. Maybe you'll find those grains of wheat among all the chaff.
Amen to that.
The Revolutionary War was won with 3%.
Yes. Yes. And again, you know, it's the 3%, 97%, 100%. You know, we can win 100% of the time with that motivated 2 or 3%. And I agree with that. So.
That if we don't do anything, even if we're motivated, if we don't do anything, then there's nothing gained. Period. You know, you sit at home saying, well, I don't know.
You sound like me yesterday.
Isn't that
what's
going on, folks?
It is. I was kind of making fun of you know, well, you know, it's, well, I just don't really want to. I mean, I got stuff to do. You know, yeah, I get that. I get that whole thing. But when you don't have much to lose, you've got that motivation behind you saying, okay, you know what? I'm not going to let this go. I'm not going to. And that's, you know what? That's why I wanted that picture or that video of the Koreans. Because, you know, you talk about motivation, all right? They were motivated. Believe me, they're motivated to keep their stuff and keep their store and keep their family safe. That's motivation.
Okay. Well, let me mention something. Do you guys need motivation? You heard of the Great Reset, the debt reset? They're going to steal your property. Is that motivation? Oh, I don't think they will. That's the problem. But as soon as they do, you've lost, and there's no time to do anything then.
Well, okay.
Again, get your movie. Get your movie, Dr. Zhivago. Yeah. Please get the movie, Dr. Zhivago, so you can literally see what's on the what's going to happen if we don't do something.
Do you believe, Doctor? Do you believe that there are people out there who are so brainwashed? And this goes. And I'd like to see comments on Rumble about this, that are so brainwashed and believe that all of this is nonsense, that, you know, oh, it can't be, you know. Do you believe that there are people out there whose minds are absolutely calcified, that's my word, calcified to saying, no, none of this is going to happen. This is all just woo-woo stuff, you know, way out there stuff.
Yes, I do. I believe that most of the population is in that boat.
All right.
And all of those who are supporting themselves on welfare are in that boat.
Wow. Okay. Which I tend to agree, because if you have the state taking care of you by your own wishes, as opposed to perhaps some extraordinary circumstances where a safety net would be sufficiently required, it would be easy to fall in that, you know, lullaby stage.
Yes.
Okay. I get that. All right.
And everybody doesn't want to put their name on a list either. Oh, I don't want to put my name on a list. Oh, they'll get me there. Put my name on a – what do you mean put your name on a list? Every one of the 330 million people in this country have their name on the list.
Yes. And if you – you know, I just saw this. One of the things in China, of course, China, their social credit score, I mean, it's just ridiculous when you see the list of things. If they find, for example, you in China, if you make an odd posting or a posting on social media, it doesn't even have to be against the government, that you won't be able to maybe take a train or a plane or whatever or get tickets to an event or, so it's coming here. So, I was going somewhere with that and I lost it. But
where you were going with that is that's the direction we're headed.
Yes.
Why do we need to have any more instructions? Why do we need to watch Dr. Zhivago? Just look at China. What happens to them? It's the social credit system. Right. It's coming. Don't sit back and say it's not coming. It is. Don't sit back and say the passport stuff is not coming. It is. And they're going to destroy our country. That's the goal. And if you don't think it, again, if you don't believe this, I can sell you anything you want. I'm going to sell you ice in Alaska, not Alaska, the Antarctic. I'm going to sell ice to you in the Antarctic if you're that dumb.
Okay, well, and I had an email asking me to ask you this question. I don't know why they don't send these questions to you, but that's fine. I'll ask this on air.
They do, by the way. I get scans of them.
Okay, good, good. But this one individual wanted to know, and this individual is based in Erie County, New York. And I got this email this morning, okay? The Erie County, New York is going to make it mandatory in order to enter federal or any government building, you have to show proof of vaccination. Again, it's not a vaccination. Is that constitutional? Would you ask Dr. Proctor how I could possibly fight this?
Yes.
Legally. There's more after that.
But. You can legally fight it. Of course, I don't know you can find a judge that's honest, but you can legally fight it with all that color of law stuff we were sending out a year ago. It's the same thing. And remember, I'm going back to the Constitution. You know that weird document nobody reads. I'm reading the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons shall not be infringed. Okay, done.
Okay. But is that enough?
Of course it's not enough. Nobody cares today. But that's how you do it. You said legally.
Right.
That's how you do it. But you got to find a judge that will be honest and do it. And the color of law stuff's all the same. All those things that we made, if a law is passed or a law is done and it's not legal or within their authority, it's null and void. Period. And if they're going to do it to you, there's penalties attached to it, to life imprisonment and execution, death penalty, depending on what they do. That's written in title, and the titles passed by Congress, Title 18 and Title 24. It's written,
that's right,
folks.
Well, there you go, Rocco. That question was from Rocco. There you go. So
it's written. All this stuff is written down.
Yeah.
You know, we could play the stuff that we did last year today.
Yes.
And it would be the same as we said last year.
And that's a problem.
The same situation.
It's a problem. Because, do we even need to, maybe we should just go golfing, you and I. Maybe.
Yeah, but I don't golf.
I don't
but
either.
I understand what you're saying. I'm going to garden. Let's just do that.
Or maybe we should
I'm
get
tired
together.
Of this. Nobody's paying any attention.
Plant
I'll
tools.
Just take care of my family. But you know that doesn't work. You can't be by yourself.
That's right. That's right.
You cannot be by yourself. It doesn't work.
But see, now this is something that I think more and more people are waking up to the tyranny. Look, you know, I get it that. Oh, you know, I don't really, you know, oh, I just can't do it. Oh, you know, whatever. But I think more and more people are waking up, though.
Well, I hope so. Remember the Koreans and the thing you just showed? How many of those people woke up?
No, that was an abrupt wake up there, you know.
Yes, it was. Well, wait for it. Do we want to wait until that happens? Till half the country is destroyed before we try to save anybody? Why don't we do it now?
Do it now. Yeah, I agree. This would be a good point. By the way, the Nancy Pelosi stuff and economics. You know, one thing that doesn't get a lot of play on this show is bathroom economics. I want to just urge people to get a hold of this book. It's written by Dr. Proctor. You talk about an interesting book and a very, very concisely worded. There's not a wasted word, wasted space in this book. It explores what's happening to our country, its freedoms by the actions of a few people who control our finances. That is bathroom economics. Go to provostinstitute.com and get that. I just commend you.
Let's use a little bit of that book right now. Okay? Let's just use a little bit of that book. Okay. I'm itching all over. Anyway, Arizona, very well done. They have passed. It's been signed by the governor. Oh, it's in law. Starting the 1st of July, I think, effective. Anyway, it says, I'm just going to paraphrase. This is what it says. No action by the federal government that oversteps the Constitution in the right to bear arms will be tolerated or followed in this state. They just nullified everything about the Second Amendment or arming each other. That's what it's about. Nullified the whole thing.
Can he do that?
This guy shows up in this. Pardon?
Can he do that?
Yes, and he did. Yeah, that's what you call nullification. It's a Tenth Amendment opportunity. Okay. Anyway, it's in the Constitution. Now, I want to ask you a question. Here's the question. If these guys get together, you know, you see, Arizona's done a nullification of this. Now, I'm going to just shift from that to another subject. Just remember that nullification. I'm going to shift to that to another subject. Right now, today, we're trying, many, many states, we're in the high 20s, want to have a constitutional convention to balance, get an amendment to balance the budget. Let us assume, the stupidest thing in the world happens, but let us assume that that conference meets and that conference comes together and creates an amendment to the Constitution as they're supposed to, whenever they were told by their states to do it. They actually do that, and they actually start it. It'll be number 28. The Constitution of the United States now says the budget must be balanced. Now, let us assume that the federal government, in their honesty, now see that they're really supposed to balance the budget. They weren't supposed to before, but now they need to decide to do it. Okay? So that's what the states are, that want it. They want the federal government to decide to do it. Let's just follow that line a little bit and see what the economic repercussions of that are, because nobody's thinking about it. State of Utah, our budget annually is about $18, $19 billion from the state of Utah. We collect in taxes and other fees and stuff about $13 billion. But our budget's balanced because the federal government gives us $5 to $6 billion. With strings, of course. Federal government never gives anything, gives away anything. There are always strings attached, but we're still getting the money at $5 to $6 billion. Okay, now, how much population does Utah have? About 3.3 million. How much population does the United States have? About 33 million. You notice there's about a 1% relationship there. So that means that that Utah is 100th of the company, of the country, which means that if everybody had to have the same $5-6 billion from the federal government to run their state, then the federal government's going to have to pay to the states $500 billion to $600 billion every year. Okay, now the federal government's balanced their budget. They've got a lot of stuff they have to do. You know, pay themselves. Have to do that. You know, of course, that is the first thing on the list. Whether you know it or not, that's what it is. So that's the military. That's got to be taken care of. Oh, yes, that's got to be. There's a lot of stuff that's got to be taken care of. If they have to balance it, they have to stay within their tax receipts. That means that they can't do a $1 trillion bailout to you guys. They can't do a $2 trillion bailout. They can't do this and that the other. In fact, they will no longer be able to send the states the money the states need to balance their budgets. So since Utah won't get that $5 billion, Utah will have to go along with $13 billion, the tax receipts. What will happen to all the programs that Utah does for all the people on the money of that $5 billion from the government?
Or the salaries of the people. Yeah.
It'll be stopped. Yep. So these people that say they want to have a balanced budget, these states that say, let's get a balanced budget. You ever seen that analogy that people laugh at when a dude is sitting on the branch of a tree out in the middle of the tree? It's a pretty solid branch. He's got a saw, and he's sawing it off the side. He's sawing the sod off that he's sitting on. You ever seen that analogy? And everybody laughs.
I saw it in real life with Eric the Tech, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Everybody laughs about that. I'll say, well, nobody would do that. Nobody's stupid enough to do that. We have 28 states that have done it right now. It may be 30 that have done it right now. They're sawing the limb off they're standing on because they can't balance their budgets and provide the programs their people demand unless the federal government gives them money. But if the balanced budget amendment goes through, they cannot give it to them, and they can't manufacture money like the federal government can. So therefore, $5 billion state of Utah's budget is gone. And that means programs that you want to have in your state that are helping you are gone. Now you're angry at the state. But you wanted the state to get an amendment to balance the budget in the federal government. But the unintended consequence is that you will lose your programs because of it.
Let me ask you, is that a bad thing? Because
yes, well, no, it's not a bad thing. All that stuff's unconstitutional. But the people won't sit back and lose those bennies. They just won't.
Oh, I see.
It's going to be health benefits. It's going to be income benefits. All kinds of benefits. They won't sit back and allow that to be lost. Then they'll be mad at their state government. But the state government wanted to balance the budget, and so did all the people in the state. Yes, we got to balance the budget. Get the federal government to balance their budget. Balancing their budget means they don't send you any money. That means you don't have the things you used to have. You're sitting on the limb. Sawing it off.
So, okay. I see. Okay, so now.
That's economics principles, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. So, obviously, that's not going to happen. In other words, they're not going to let that happen because.
Neither is the federal government. They're just going to ignore it and keep on going. They didn't pay attention to it in the Constitution. Why will they pay attention to it on an amendment?
Okay.
So, we don't really have to worry about that because nothing is going to happen anyway. I'm just saying if the people got what they wanted, what would happen to them because of it?
Be careful what you wish for because you might get it, but then in this case you're not going to get it because the federal government's not going to let it happen anyway because they want centralized control over everybody.
Yes, that's right. So we don't have to worry about it. I don't care if they pass 100 amendments that say it's going to balance the budget. All 100 of them will be ignored, period. No questions asked. The power of the federal government is giving money to you so that you will be subject to their whims, period.
Okay. And this kind of enters into the same territory. And I want to thank Paula. And there's another person who emailed me about this to have a discussion with you about not the balanced budget, but the money supply and the issue at hand, the larger issue is China's move to a digital yuan. Okay. Now we're going back to folks. We're kind of visiting about bathroom economics here. Again, this book explores what's happening to the United States and our freedoms by the actions of a few. Okay. The goal is control and domination, and they don't respect our American ideals. Now, you wrote that, or that's the back blurb, or blurb on the back of the book. Now, you also say that economics is not a difficult subject, but it's been presented in a way that to keep us in the dark about what's happening to us in our society. Now, that said, again, bathroom economics, good book. Okay, so that said, the Chinese, digital yuan, and we can see the writing on the wall. America is headed to a digital currency. America's also headed to being dethronged from the world reserve currency. Does that have anything to do with all of this? In other words, what can you say about that? the questions about, you know, hey, are we headed for a digital currency? And
I want to ask you a question. Why do we want to go to – let me ask you the question this way. Does the government already manufacture money whenever it wants to?
Absolutely.
Will it not do that with a digital currency just the same?
Easier.
So what difference does it make? Except they now control you.
That, because I can't go down to the middle school and buy drugs.
That's not the only thing you won't be able to buy. If you don't have something that the government wants you to have, they'll cut off your digital currency.
Right. So I guess, yes, because so that's where this book and this book meet. Okay. They kind of overlap here. This calls for a currency that's sound and solid, money that's sound and solid, money currency.
Yes, it's Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5. Yes.
Right. Now, this book explains, we're getting hosed, and here's
banking,
how.
All those kinds of things. Yes. Socialism, okay. All that kind of stuff.
All right. So, and I can't help but think that this COVID pass, this vaccination pass, not vaccination, and digital currency are in social credit score and complete control and domination and centralization of everything. It's all combined into one. So how in the world do we fight this?
All one big ball.
Yes. So, the question was, multi-part questions from different people. I got four windows open to four different people, but, you know, is it likely that we're going to be headed for a digital currency that's going to be related to a vaccination pass? Is it likely that the U.S. Dollar will not be the world's reserve currency, that China will be? Is it likely that it's precious metals will be outlawed, ownership of precious metals to avoid the creation of a black market, and so on. So, I mean.
Well, let me answer all of that in one sentence.
Go ahead.
Will the government ever give up control of us or seek less control of us? If the government will always want more control over your life, all of those things will happen. So that the government does have that control over your life. Yes. Is it likely? Well, we've already had gold taken away from us internationally and personally. Can it be done again? Absolutely. Digital currency, people in Bitcoin making all this money. Is it possible the government could outlaw Bitcoin when they make their own? You would lose everything? Yeah. Is it likely that the government will tax Bitcoin income as it occurs? Yes. Is it likely that you're going to get shafted by the government over and over again? Yes. Are you going to put up with it? Oh, that's a question. And my answer is, by and large, yes. The Russian people put up with it when they lost everything they had and the government took it all. They put up with it, just went around and cheated on and snitched on their neighbors. If their neighbors were trying to stop. Yes, it's likely. Is socialism likely on the horizon? Oh, yes. Are we going to become a socialist government? We already are, mostly. Yes. Is Medicare going to go away? No. Is it socialism? Yes. Is Obamacare going to go away? No. Is it socialism? Yes. Is the reason that our health system is so wiped out and so expensive and it's so hard to get any health care for a reasonable charge, was that caused by government programs? Yes, Medicare. I was in the hospital administration when that happened. I saw things that you could buy out of petty cash, your own personal family cost, go skyrocketing. You couldn't buy anything. So by insurance, that went skyrocketing. Why? Because of Medicare. Because the government's going to pay it. I'm going to give you another illustration. Student loans to the universities. In days of yore, my day, that's not too far back. I got to remember that. Days of yore are only 40, 50 years ago, period. When I went to college, you paid for it. My dad paid for it. Did it break the budget? Absolutely not. It didn't break the budget. He had it. He paid for it. Then the federal government got involved in student loans. The federal government says, go ahead, make it. We'll pay you all the loans that the students make. That's what they said. If you make a loan to a student, we'll give you the money so you won't lose it. Aha, said the school. I know what I can do. If tuition today is $100 and the government will give me $100, if I get that student to sign a loan for $100 and the government will reimburse me, maybe I'll get that loan to be $500 and the government will reimburse me. Maybe I'll make it $1,000, the government will reimburse me. Maybe I'll make it $10,000, the government will reimburse me. Maybe I'll make it $100,000, the government will reimburse me. And that's the story of school debt. And now people can't get rid of it that have it, and their whole lives they've got that huge boulder over their heads that they cannot get rid of. Because the government in the bankruptcy laws said, no, you can't get rid of that debt. Anything else, you buy a car, we'll shaft the car dealer. You buy this, you buy that, but if you borrowed from us, we won't let you get out of that. So you're shafted. And everybody runs to college and says, oh, I can get it. I can just borrow it. Oh, I can have it. Oh, wow, I get my room and board. I get a degree. You sweet.
You know,
graduate, no job, no income, and a debt that's looming above your head that you cannot get out of. It just accumulates.
And that is the ultimate control. I mean, debt is slavery, and that's the ultimate control. You know, I just keep going back to this book because you lay it all out in this book. You know, and it seems like, well, you're really pushing the book. I am, because it's easy to understand. When you have this behind you, it's easy to understand. So, I remember back in days of yore, I think for half a year was $1,250. I can't remember.
Say that again, $1,250?
Yeah, for like a half a year, back in the days of yore. I mean, I
mean
my day.
Income?
No. Income? No, this is school loan, school semester.
School semester. No, yeah. My school semester is about $400 a year.
All right. Well,
a semester.
Yeah, I think.
$400. And the housing was another couple hundred a semester.
Yeah. Yeah, mine, of course, was, you know, but I think about $1,250, $1,500,
yeah,
you know.
Still reasonable, still can be done.
Right. Now, today, okay, so you're looking at people who are walking out of colleges, universities, whatever, really they're incredibly stupid, I'm sorry, but they are, with degrees, which, you know, to have a degree in gender studies, you got to be out of your flipping mind. But okay, and $150,000 debt that they're saddled with and they can't get rid of.
That's right, and you cannot get it off of you. You cannot do it.
And even if
you're homeless, you can't get rid of that debt. Even if you have no money for food, you can't get rid of that debt.
Okay, so
and that is socialism.
There it is. Yeah.
Pure and simple, that's socialism.
Oh, man. Okay. Wow.
We had an economics class today.
We had more than that, but yeah, you're exactly right. And it's interesting, Bernie Sanders, AOCs of the world, the squad and so on, you know, talking about student loan debt. I don't know, student loan debt forgiveness.
Yeah, let's just address that for a minute. Student loan debt forgiven, all right?
Right?
So all of a sudden, every dime you owe on your school debt is forgiven. That's a socialism deal, you guys. The socialists just bought your life. It's not obvious. It's subtle, but they did. They just bought you for your school debt. Socialism is not something that gives you stuff for free. It gives you stuff for slavery, for a payback later. You're not ever going to get anything for free. But socialism makes it sound like it. The Russian government, the Russian movement, made it sound like everything would be fine. Those wealthy people living in those wealthy houses, we're going to get a piece of that. They're going to give it to us, and they're going to want to do it. Isn't this wonderful? They're going to want to give us half of their home. And I don't have to do anything to get it. Oh, boy, isn't this one? That is exactly what went on in the early 20s in Russia, late 1900s and early 20s. Exactly that.
Yep.
So the people said, oh, the government gave it to us, so they took it away. So the people who lived in those homes either let them in or they slaughtered them. And that was all government acceptable.
Yeah.
So who won? Who won? Nobody. But the people who were in control of the government, they lived in plush villas with everything you could ever want. And the people stood in bread lines to get enough, maybe, to have some dinner tonight. Maybe. So who won? The people? The proletariat? All of these? No, the only people who won were the bourgeoisie who they were trying to get rid of. But the only thing that happened was they changed rulers. When the czar was there and the wealthy people there, they were the rulers. They threw that out, brought in communism. All they did was change the name of the ruler. The people were just the same. And under socialism, they're treated worse than they were ever treated by the czar. Ever treated by the czar. Sure, there were people without things. I know that. You never, ever have all you want. Did you hear the word want?
Yep.
You never have all you want. But at least during the czar time, you had what you needed most of the time. Some of the time you had to go without something. I'm not going to say everybody was taken care of. No, no, no. Free agency doesn't take care of anybody. You take care of yourself. Some won't do it, therefore they're in trouble. But if they won't do it and they're in trouble, why do they want to come to me and take my money that I did? There's a class that wanted to do socialism. This is an economics again. We're back in economics again for a minute.
It's all about money.
You can't get away from these two subjects.
No.
They're right tight together. You can't see what I'm doing. They're right tight together like this. They are not separate. But everybody knows nothing about economics. And everybody knows nothing about what the government's doing to you. And everybody thinks normal will always be the same. Nothing will change. A group of students in an economics class in a particular university, a professor got there and they said, look, this is an economics class, and we believe that socialism works. We want to have socialism apply in our class so that everybody passes. Everybody gets a good grade. Everybody passes. Because that's what socialism promises. Everybody will pass. So the teacher says, okay, let's do it. So from now on, I will do exactly what you're asking. Everybody will pass. Everybody will get the same grade. So since everybody passed, everybody will pass. Everybody gets the same grade. Utopia, no problem. Now that's the promises of socialism. Utopia, yeah, wow, we all get the same. Anyway, so here comes the first test. There were some people who worked hard like they always did, and they would have gotten A's. And there's some people who were sloppy, sloppy slobs, like they always were, and they get F's or low D's normally. But because we're now socialism, the teacher is bound to give everybody the same grade because that's the rule. That's the agreement. So he looked at all the scores of all the tests, melded them all together, averaged them out, and everybody got a C+. Now, there were some people in that thing. What do you mean a C+? I earned an A. Yeah, I know it's socialism. Those guys got your part of your A. They got part of your A's so that they could have a C+. So here comes the next test. Now, the guys who worked hard before and didn't party said, well, you know, I'm not going to work so hard. And so they didn't. And the guys who got C's, they didn't work very much. Now they didn't work at all. And the guys who got the D's and the E's, they didn't change. Here comes the next test. Teacher averaged all the scores just like he was supposed to, and he gave everybody their equal share, just like socialism does. So he did exactly what they were told to build up this utopia, only this time everybody got D's. Now everybody's mad at the professor and at each other. And they're fuming mad because we all got D's. We're supposed to pass. We didn't pass. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. The next test. Nobody did anything, and they all failed, and he failed every student in the class. That's the utopia. Everybody got the same grade. Everybody failed. And that's socialism. Everyone is equal, equally poor, and that's how it works. Did you know? Now, I was a geography minor. Did you know that in Russia, they gave them the permission to farm, to garden around their homes. Just a little strip around their homes. We're not talking big gardens here. We're just talking a little bit of strip around their homes. They could graze, and that was theirs to keep. Ah, free agency. Aha, production. I can do it. I can get what I do. They worked hard on what? Their little stuff around their home. More stuff was grown around their home than was grown in the entire industry, the entire economy of the farming economy. More stuff was grown around the homes of people than the entire Russian agriculture economy, because there was reward. In other words, there weren't any. There wasn't any reward. Everybody's the same. Everybody's equal. Now, those who don't do anything didn't get any benefit from it. If they didn't plant anything around their home, they didn't get any benefit. Well, they didn't earn any benefit, so they didn't get it. That's normal. That's how things are. Didn't but if you're depending on me to give you food because I raise it around and I can just barely... No. You raise it around your yard. You can do it. There's your yard. There's the tools. There's the... Go do it. Oh, I don't want to. That's fine. You don't have to.
Didn't we see the same thing happen in around Jamestown settlement? The first time there was a collective, and then basically everyone starved, and then
Yep, that's how it happens. Yeah. Every time. Yeah. Every time you have a collective like that.
Yeah.
Every time. Those who don't want to work, don't. There's nobody to require it. Nobody to force them. Can't do it. Those who will work hard will for just a little while, until they see everybody else lazing around doing nothing. So they will too. That's how it works. And it always works like that. Do you think Venezuela went from being one of the most wealthy countries in free enterprise to becoming one of the poorest countries under communism by accident?
Not in the least.
They can't find anything on the shelves to buy now. They don't even have water coming. They don't have anything in Venezuela anymore. But they were one of the wealthiest countries in South America, because they had big oil industry. But when it became a socialist deal, they lost their oil industry. They lost everything because everybody is now equally poor.
You know, I saw a picture. Again, this goes into your book, Bathroom Economics. I saw a picture from Venezuela, like the sidewalk, a couple of people walking down the sidewalk. And, you know, in the section where their sewers are and the curb, there was all this paper, and you look close, and it was money. It was paper money. It was currency, Venezuelan currency. That was just – it was worthless. Okay, now I don't know if it was,
so. Happens all the time in socialism. Happens all the time. Your money is worthless.
So
– By the way, yeah. If we don't get our act together in this country and to begin to produce our own things – our money will become worthless, and we won't be able to take a wheelbarrow full of stuff and go to Germany and buy anything.
Well, okay, that was my question, because based on your writings, Bathroom Economics, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to just put it out there for the benefit of people I want you guys to think about this. So the $1 million I've got stuffed in my bedroom mattress of all hundreds and fifties, could very well become worthless.
Why? How would it become worthless?
Well, we mean how would it become worthless?
Well, I will tell you the story. I like stories. Here's an illustration. Did I tell this story about Scrooge McDuck last week? Let me do it again, even if I did. Here's Scrooge McDuck. Now, we all know from the days of yore how wealthy Scrooge McDuck was. And he just wanted to find a nice, quiet place to live. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie and Scrooge all moved to this nice little community. It was a very nice community, and he liked it. So he was very quiet, but he was a famous guy. Everybody knew about him. He was pretty famous. And he got a, let's just call it a soda pop, and popped the lid. And somebody grabbed the lid. I got a lid from Scrooge McDuck's bottle. And other people said, well, we'd like to have a lid from his bottle, too. We want to have one of those, just like autographs. We want to have a lid from his bottle. So every time he popped a bottle, people would rifle through his garbage to get the garbage, to get the lids. And they became important to trade. People began to buy things with those bottle lids because everybody wanted them. Remember, money, everybody wants them. So he could use it to buy things. It became currency. And Scrooge got so fed up that he went out of the town down where the bottles were created, got a lot of bottle caps, tons of bottle caps. He bought all these tons of bottle caps. Now, people in that community had been hoarding bottle caps and saving them, putting them in their mattress, doing all kinds with them because they were valuable. And they got to buy things with them. Everybody wanted them, and it worked. He got those tons of bottle caps, flew over to an airplane, and dumped them. Immediately, the bottle caps were worthless. Because now there's so many of them. All you have to do is go pick them up. Everybody went out to pick them up. And now everybody's got all they want. Since they got all they want, they don't want yours. You can't use them anymore. That's the story of inflation. There's a true, plain show, a discussion of what economics means in the supply of money. The more money, the less it's worth. Period. The more there is, the less it's worth.
Seems to me, I remember your writing about that in Bathroom Economics.
Yeah, it's written in the stuff around MV equals PT. Yes, uh-huh. It is.
Yeah.
The formula, MV equals PT. The formula is the money supply. Yes, the money supply, the transactions, the velocity, and prices. That's how it works. Now, if you set the prices, the velocity, and the transactions at 1, then the money supply, if it goes up and up and up, prices go up and up and up at the same time, period. And if the money supply goes skyrocket, prices will skyrocket. That's how it works. Money supply is the key, and it always will be. That's why the Federal Reserve won't tell you how much money they're printing anymore.
That I found interesting, and I didn't, and I knew that, but I didn't know that. Like, you know how you know something, and you kind of it goes out of your mind, and you kind of forget about it. But yes, and I find that very troubling. And the stuff that Janet Yellen is talking about as well. Recently that it was on the, it was getting a lot of play. You know, I can't believe that she said stuff like that out loud. And I can't remember what the subject matter was, but it had to do with money supply. So, yeah, we're headed that way, aren't we?
Maybe, yes, we are.
And you know what? Maybe, hey folks, maybe that 97% out there that you don't care. Maybe we're talking to you. Maybe this will get your attention because you're so worried about your 401k, your annuity, your pension or whatever. I don't know. I don't have any of that stuff, so I don't know.
And it doesn't matter. Even if you've got it hoarded in a vault in your yard, so you can't be, it can't be stolen from you. So, guess what? That still will happen to the money in your mattress, in the yard, in your savings account. Everywhere you have that money, it will be worthless. No matter. And it's not your fault either. It's somebody else printing money. For example, how many people got $3,600 this year for doing absolutely nothing?
You know, I'm on the number of lists. I'm not on that list. I don't know.
Didn't you get your supplements from the government?
No. No. I take that back. The first
they came
one
to us. First one's $1,200. Didn't it come to you? $600 each, you and your wife?
That one came to us.
$2,800 next? $1,400 for you and your wife?
Yeah.
$1,200 more for you and your wife?
No.
You didn't get it?
No.
Well, it'll fix on your taxes. When you submitted your taxes, if you didn't get it, you mark it down and they'll give it to you.
And tomorrow, folks, is tax day. It was extended to May 5th, 14th, I believe, or 15th, but tomorrow is tax day. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, you got it, whether you know you got it or not, or if you didn't ask for it, you didn't get it. But everybody that wanted it did, and I knew what was coming, so I made sure that I got my share of this, what's happening, even though I know that by getting this share and everybody around me getting this share, it will be worth less in some future date.
But that's so a forced loan. That's a forced loan upon you by the government. Go ahead.
Yes, we think this is great stuff. Oh boy, I got $3,600 from the government. Yay! Let's get some money every month. Aha! Uh-huh. Uniform basic income. It's a snap. We'll give everybody money every month. Guys, if everybody every month gets money, it talks about billions and billions and trillions of dollars. So every time that happens, that money supply that we have that the Federal Reserve won't tell us anymore, but it doesn't matter whether they tell us or not, that money supply will grow, and it will grow, and it will grow. The formula then says very clearly, prices will grow, and will grow, and will grow. I'll explain in the economics book. Grow, and everything will grow. And if you ever see a country that went whatever that word I want to say is, ever see a country go like that? I saw it. I was in Brazil. I saw it happen. When I got in Brazil, the exchange rate per dollar was like 230 cruzeiros per dollar. And that was good for us already. That was very good for us. But Brazil in that year printed a lot of money. Wasn't very long. This all happened in 30 months, by the way. Wasn't very long for the, it went up not to 235 or 250, it went up to 300. And then it went up to 400. Now all the prices in the country went up with it. And so did we. We got the money from the dollar because now that we just put a dollar, we got 400 instead of 235. Everybody working didn't get that same double that we got. Because we were basing ours on the dollar of the United States. The dollar vis-a-vis the United States, Brazilian currency went down. So what did Brazil do? They canceled all their cruzeiros and put out a new thing called the new cruzeiros. That was after I left. Now they have a government, a money system that I don't even know about. But the concept is the same. Every time the government gets started and they print something, too much of something, over and over and over again, they move to a new currency. So everybody will think we're starting over. But we're not. We're just starting with a new currency at the same level we were. Now, are we gonna do it? These people who are doing digital currency, they think, oh, this will be good. We'll have a new currency and everything will be under control. No, it won't. The new currency we treated is called digital. The new currency will be digital currency, will be treated like the old currency was in exactly the same way, only easier. And up it'll go, and up it'll go, and up it'll go. And if the government decides that they want to send you another $3,600, and you think, oh boy, I'm getting another $3,600 from the government, wow, I'm going to be rich. No, you aren't. You're going to have that much less overall in your money supply. Each.
And all of this that you're talking about, if I'm correct, when you look at, it's all related because one of the major yucky points with people is when they pull up to the gas pump and they realize that they're paying more for gas today than they have in the last year. It's up 9.1%, I believe, since the first of the year. And, that's, people can see that. Now that's obviously pipeline issue. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, but one of the big reasons I believe is what the federal government's doing with the money supply. And I could be wrong, but I think that has something to do with it. So are we not seeing inflation the way you describe it? The consequence.
Yes, well, it's a little different. That's not the case in this instance, although it has some part of it.
Okay.
The gas price in Utah went up 44%.
Okay.
And if anybody thinks it only went up 9%, they haven't properly checked it. This is how you do it, folks, so you can properly check it. This is the mathematics. You start with a base of $2 a gallon. Or 3 or 4 or 5, don't make any difference. You start with a base of $2 a gallon. That's your base. Now it goes up to $3 a gallon. The increase is $1 per gallon. That's 50% of the beginning number of 2. That's a 50% increase. And that's happened already in our country this year, right, since the inauguration of this current administration. And I just did the calculation. Utah went up 44.8%.
Okay.
That's some inflation, but mostly it's because there's no supply. Supply and demand is a big deal here. That's another issue we didn't talk about. There's no supply, but the demand didn't change. Why is there no supply? Because the stupid government, since the inauguration of this administration, decided that we don't need all the gasoline that we've been producing. So they shut down the wells. They shut down production. They shut down everything. We're having to buy our gas now overseas like we used to have to. Well, during the Trump administration, we learned how to mine our own gas. rather than going to somewhere else to get it. Now we're shut down everything of our own. Now we're going to somebody else, and they keep track of the supply, and our prices go up, and our prices in the state of Utah have gone up 44.8%. And if you didn't get that percentage, you didn't figure it right. It's not all inflation. It's lack of supply.
Kind of like the lumber industry right now. You go try to buy a 2x4. I mean, you can get them, but.
Oh, yeah, same thing. That's COVID. That's lack of supply again. But that was caused by the government cheating us in something that didn't exist.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, if anybody wants, I have a document here. The CDC is being sued by the universities, seven of them, for the fraud of COVID-19, which they cannot find in any sample. 1,500 samples have been checked by several university labs, and in every case it was flu A and flu B. There was no COVID garbage. It was flu A. It was a flu A or a flu virus B. Every case.
They're suing
the CDC for fraud.
Okay, that sounds really cute, nice, but is that going to go anywhere?
Mean anything? No, it won't. Won't find it. They won't find an honest judge. It sounds nice, but it is the true fact that there was a flu virus A or B. You dot nothing else.
You know, I don't know if this factors into what you just said. I saw a figure from the CDC flu cases this year. 1,822 coronavirus cases, 3.8 million or something like that, or 38 million. I mean, it was just, the numbers were so out of whack. It was just absolutely mind-blowing. And people were saying, well, that's because the reason flu cases are down, not messing with the numbers, is because wearing masks, social distancing, and proper hygiene. Which is just, I mean, you know, I want to smack these people that, you know, I'm serious. I want to smack them upside the head and think, what's wrong with you? You know, so with all this, I mean, you know, we got people in Canada, everything we talked about right now that we've been talking about, the inflation, yes, the economics, yes. But, you know, the Second Amendment earlier speaking about the, coronavirus just now. I watched a Twitter video. It's like 30 seconds of cops breaking into a house an apartment in Canada, busting down the door, two cops walking up the stairs, scaring the wits out of this family, putting the guy in handcuffs for a COVID violation in Canada. Okay. Now there's so many more examples of that. Why did I go there with this? Except to say, I guess we people are just beyond hope. I'm thinking people are beyond hope.
I want to talk a little bit about what you just did. Let me just chat a little bit. I understand precisely. I've seen videos of where five policemen beating a guy on the street with clubs because he wasn't doing something right with COVID.
Yeah, and by the way, what you're seeing right there, I just have to say this. What you're seeing right there is they bust this door in. I mean, you know what? We have our guns. Canadians don't. They bust this door and go up and arrest this guy for not quarantining after a trip. And you know the comments, Dr. Proctor, I just have to say this. The comments under this Twitter is, go police, go. Yeah, because he's a lawbreaker. Yeah, he didn't follow the rules. Yeah, he should go to jail or should be quarantined. He's a threat to the general population. I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with you idiots? But I digress. Go on. It's yours. Go ahead.
Well, let me just talk a little bit about that. Nobody knew anything at all about this in December of 19. But in January of 20, it began to surface just a little bit at a time. In the end, toward the end of January of 20, I said to myself, I must be prepared. This is going to go bad. So I went to the store and I prepared myself. Nobody else did, or very, very few did, but I did. Now we get into March. The media began to hammer at us about this disease that's coming from China. And they showed things that were Hollywood created, either here or there, I don't care. They showed people dying in the streets with blood gushing and on and on and on. And then they hammered at us. The major media hammered at us over and over and over and over. For a full year, they've hammered at us at this terrible disease, which, by the way, wasn't any worse than the flu season. Nonetheless, they hammered at us over and over and over, and they lied about statistics, and they lied about what was happening in hospitals. They lied about, they made films, they showed things, they put films from one place, did them in another. They lied about body bags in front of hospitals. They lied and lied, but it didn't matter that they were lies. They were an official force that was telling everybody what was going on, and everyone was glued to their screens. They were scared to death, and we have become so fierce, so afraid of something that didn't even exist. Didn't the Bible say something? Isn't the phrase in the Bible something like that? You'll run while you're not pursued. You'll be so afraid you'll run when you're not pursued. Well, that's the sentence. We're running even though we're not pursued. And we're, and if somebody else is holding us back where we think they are, we're going to beat them to death so that we can run faster. Folks, there's nothing to be afraid of except fear itself and your own paying attention to garbage over and over and over. And there's a thing about computers, garbage in, garbage out, garbage in, garbage out. That's a very important concept in computers. If the data is bad, the results will be bad. Well, here we go. The media has lectured and lectured and yelled and screamed and shown pictures and all kinds of stuff. And people have sat in front of their TVs just glued to it. Oh, my, what will happen to me next? Ah! I walk down the aisle in a grocery store where everybody's got to wear a mask. I'm not. I see people looking at me mad because I'm not wearing a mask. Yep. Now, I want to mention Utah. Last Saturday, dropped the mask mandate. They dropped it. It's not there. I went to a meeting on it. Only about 5 or 6 people were there in that group of about 100 that were wearing masks. Maybe there were 10. Okay, that's all there were. They were wearing masks. But as I walk around the streets today, even though that's been 5 days ago, people are still wearing masks. I see people, we had a big windstorm yesterday. I see people out on the street in a windstorm wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's,
we have been brainwashed. Oh, it's become word. A religion. It's COVIDism. It's become a religion, and people will not give up this religion.
Branch COVIDiots. And, how's
and
that?
Yes, yes, COVIDiot, and it has become. I had it. Yes, sirree. It's become a you could put a badge on your chest because I've had COVID-19. I've had the disease. No, you didn't. You had a flu A virus. Oh, no, I had COVID. I know I did because I took one of those tests and they showed me I did. Yeah, yeah. Well, they took positives. That 1,700 that I just talked were all positives from those tests. Every one of those were positives. Yet when they were tested correctly, nothing, nothing. Every one of those were positives. Those 1,500 positives that they tested in 7 different labs all said nothing but flu A and B. I have a document that I'll email to anybody who wants it, along with the how do you get a group together so that you can, so that I'll come and visit you in your home at no charge. Anyway, guys, that's what's happening. We are now today so embroiled in fear and are so afraid that we can't come out of it. We've bought into it. Our whole mind and soul has bought into it. We cannot believe anything different. Cannot believe it. And we're in deep trouble. Why is lumber so expensive? Because people didn't go to work because they might have had a disease. Government shut down production, shut down our economy to try to stem some disease that didn't exist. And they knew it didn't exist when they did it.
But you were one of the first. I have to give you credit on this, at least in my view, in my worldview. You were one of the first to call on the state governments to say, hey, enough of this mask mandate crap and, you know, all of this. And now look, the states that are reopening, the numbers are not much different than those people, than the lockdowns. So
that's,
I mean,
right.
You were one of the first to say to the governments, exercise your authority under the Constitution.
That's right.
Look at that.
I want to point out a state. This is a very good thing to point out. I'm going to point out another state. This time it's South Dakota. Mm-hmm. They didn't do masks. They didn't do social distance. They didn't close anybody. And by Jove, they didn't have any of that silly COVID any more than anybody else did, or less. In other words, they didn't have any more flu than anybody else did. That's what happened. They just didn't have any more flu than anybody else had. Because that's all it was.
Yeah. I mean, I look, I think that there's something, you know, there's something, there was something released, okay, whether accidental or deliberate, and I think it was modified by humans. I don't know what it is, but when you look at the symptoms and the people down from it, my stepson was down, his wife, and it was like, seriously, it was like a very, very bad case of the flu in his case and her case, okay. But they're fully recovered and developed natural antibodies against, I assume.
Yes. That's how it works.
Okay. So, you know, never before in the history of mankind have we incarcerated the well. And, you know, it's interesting because you pointed this out long before the CDC said that asymptomatic spread is fiction. Others have pointed that out as well. You know, if you don't have symptoms, you're not going to be a carrier of whatever the virus might be. So anyway, yeah, you're right. But you know,
we voluntarily imprisoned ourselves when they told us to stay home. Yeah. Voluntarily, the government said you're in jail in your home. So we did it.
House arrest.
We stayed in jail in our home. He said you can't open that business. So we did it. We cut our own throats because the government said that without authority. South Dakota didn't do that, and they went along, just skipping right along, merrily skipping along in their environment. But we didn't in Utah, and most of the states in California, one of the worst. Well, California is the worst of a lot of stuff. New York's the same problem. Any place where they just bolted, people don't have jobs. They don't have. Now let's think of another aspect, economic aspect of this. Right now, the government depends on, you depend on, many of us do anyway, Social Security and Medicare. Yes, we do. Where do the funds come from for Social Security and Medicare? When you look at how it's supposed to come, where does the government claim it comes from? It comes from the wages of employees.
Yep.
Every time I went to, I hired people. Every time I paid them a check, they had to pay 7%. Half of their Social Security and half of their Medicare, and the company had to pay the other half of both of them. So the two together were 15 and 3%. So 18% of every person's wages went to the government for Medicare and Social Security.
Right.
Now here comes the government. They shut down the business. All of a sudden, 90% of the people are not at work. Let's say just a number. Bingo, 90% of the employment of money, income, is not being produced. Therefore, the Social Security Administration and the Medicare has 90% less than they had before during that period. They're, again, sawing off the log, the branch they're sitting on. So how is it made up? It's made out of the government creating more money and printing more money so that they can still do the stuff that they're supposed to do that they feel like they're obligated to do. And so they still do that. And so they create more money. So there's a piece of the money that's being created that we didn't even know about because it wasn't apparent.
Hmm.
Every job lost was a decrease in Social Security and Medicare payments into the system, every one of them.
How can they make that up?
They make it up by printing money on the printing press.
There you go. Okay. Which leads to inflation.
Money supply and inflation. Yes.
That's right.
That's how they make it up. That's how they're making it up. And they're also making it up by sending you, whether you got it or not, $3,600 last year. Away it goes. Tingo. And they make it up by you pretend like you got some money. Oh, they saved our butts because we got an opportunity to get some money. We can pay our rent. We can buy food. Oh, yay. The government is so helpful. We're so glad we've got a government to help us. Oh, my. I'm so glad we have a Federal Reserve to help us. Oh, it'll keep us out of so many disasters, so many problems. I'm so glad. Oh, I'm going to send them a Christmas present. They're so kind to me. Does anybody detect a little sarcasm there? If you don't, I got some more land in. It's some more swampland to sell you.
Sure. So when do we pick up our rifles and or muskets, I should say, not rifle. When do we pick up our muskets and and do something about this. At this point, I don't know what else we could do except,
this whole hour we've been talking about people get off your butts and go do something to protect yourself.
Right.
Not me. I don't want you to protect me. I'm going to do that. Doug's going to do it for him. You got to do it for you. And that's all we're trying to say. People, those books I print are only for one thing, to teach you how to protect yourself in these problems that are coming. No other purpose.
Well,
and the only reason I charge for them is because if I didn't, you wouldn't think they were worth anything, because there's no value if you don't pay for it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I know there's a tavern owner. I said this before in Western New York that would, actually had got a deal with a fish company and had 25, 30 years ago, had this happy hour and the freshest, plumpest shrimp, if you like shrimp cocktail, and charged, because of the deal that she offered, charged like $1.99 at the time. It was just insanely inexpensive. And people were not buying the shrimp, the shrimp cocktail at that price. And she was confused because it was the best around and you couldn't buy any fresher and couldn't buy any bigger. And anyway, long story short is she stopped that and, actually got canned shrimp or frozen shrimp. It wasn't fresh. And they were smaller, and she raised the price up to like $4.99, and people started buying it more and more. And she was like, "Well, I don't get this. I mean, I can't believe lower quality, you know, higher price." But it was the value attached to. It was the psychological value attached to the, you know.
Yes.
So that's what you're saying. I mean.
So I'm saying people have told me many times that I charge too little. $20 for these books and you pay the shipping and the taxes? What's wrong with you? They're worth some more, much more than that.
Yeah.
I look at the break point. I say to myself, people can buy it at 20 when they really can't buy it at 30 or 40, but they can buy it at 20 and I'll pay the shipping. I make a little less, but I get the book out. Yep. Why do you think we cut the price of the books down to $12 plus shipping for these classes? So that I can get more books out at a more reasonable price.
And that's why. So please, folks, sign up for those classes. And you've got openings, obviously. You've done some, but we need a lot more. So let's get involved.
Oh, yes. I keep saying 20 a week. I want to do 20 a week. I want to do 20 a week. There's still space. There's still space. 20 now, a week.
Before time runs out, and I don't know how far down you want to get into this, but you know, I find this rather exciting. I was talking to Eric the tech before the show, and he said, "You know, do you want to give people your plans? What's coming?"
Yes, it's time to do that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's time to do that, folks, brothers and sisters, folks sitting out there in the hinterlands where we're reaching, starting this month. I will be on a podcast of my own every week called Saving the Constitution by Dr. Richard Proctor, every week for an hour. On these podcasts, I will answer your questions. You have something you want to ask me? Send it. I'll answer it as soon as I can. If I don't get questions, I'm going to teach the Constitution. I'm not going to talk about COVID. I'm not going to talk about, I'll talk about economics, but I'm going to teach the Constitution. Because that's what's most important right now. And people want to know how to do a militia, write me something, I'll talk about it again. That's what this is for, 1 hour a week from now on. At least that's the plan. And, of course, I'll sell my books. People want to get them and help people get the books and help encourage and understand why they want them and all these kinds of things. But I'm going to reach out to everybody who wants to. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it all because Eric hasn't taught me yet. But it'll come. We're going to start this month.
I love this.
Every week. So, I've already signed up with the people that are already charging money for. I'm already being charged money for the airtime. So I don't mind paying it because I know it's coming.
Yep.
Everything is fine.
So just to recap, folks, this is great. And I'm so glad Richard Proctor's launching Saving the Constitution, an hour long podcast. I've been excited all show to tell you about this. So it's going to start soon.
I don't like to put a date on it. Eric gave me a date, but I want to put the date on it because who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, he gave me a date too.
It's going to start this month. It'll be up. And we'll tell everybody from this broadcast how to get it.
Okay, that sounds good. There it is.
There's the title. That's what it'll be right there.
Oh my goodness.
That's the start.
So, and it's going to be a very pure, very focused, very intent Saving the Constitution hour long podcast with Richard Proctor. You can't beat that, folks. And how great is that, that he is actually going to be doing that specifically for all Americans, all people all across the world, actually, who want to listen and want to watch this podcast, Saving the Constitution. And I'm really proud to know that you're going to be doing that. We need that. And I'll be tuning in.
And I'm not looking for any sponsors either. I'm going to do it myself. No sponsors, no nothing. Nobody will be able to tell me anything. I'm going to do this for you.
That's great.
And I'm hoping that you will buy my book so that I can afford to do this for you and continue to do all the things I am doing, because I've got an income from the books. But bottom line is, I'm not asking you to buy anything to join this. I'm asking you to turn on your computer screen to whatever it is. It's going to be done over Rumble.
I love it. And you know something, folks, this is why you should subscribe to Rumble anyway, because you can actually subscribe to Richard Proctor, Saving the Constitution. It's coming up. Oh, I can't wait, because, and I'm going to be tuned into your initial broadcast, you know, your first broadcast. I just can't wait. So folks, this month, make a note of that. Saving the Constitution, Richard Proctor, an hour every week on Rumble. Go ahead.
And I believe, if I understand correctly, Eric, I believe that it will be archived so people can look back at past news also.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like our shows are archived, so will yours. And it'll also be in podcast form, audio form too, right? So it's going to be like ours, but it's going to be an hour a week, and it's going to be great. So yeah, absolutely.
Just one thing, nothing else. We're not going to talk about news of the day. I mean, that's all important, but I don't want to do that. I'm going to talk about the subjects of the Constitution. It's sprinkled with economics, but I'm not going to talk about COVID. I'm not going to talk about any of those kind of things. It's all for other shows. We'll do that here. I'm going to talk about Constitution solely. That
you cannot.
And I'm going to take my little book here and use it.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you have, I am so enthused about this. I believe all adults should watch your podcast coming up. But I also believe too, if you are a homeschooler of middle school to high school, I think you should tune into this. And also you should have Saving the Constitution in preparation of that podcast, or just have it period. Bathroom Economics or the other economics books at Provost Institute. But I can't wait for this. And I'm excited because I know Eric's been working on the minutia of it, and it's going to be a fantastic show. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
I've wanted to do it for quite some time, but I was afraid of the cost. And I was also afraid, can I really talk an hour by myself with no audience?
Oh,
yes, I can do it. Yeah. I can do it. I've learned I can do it. So we're going to spend an hour. I'm going to spend an hour. I'm hoping Eric can give me my same background that I have here so that everybody can recognize what I'm doing.
I'm sure he can do something. I don't know. I don't even know how that works. So
me either.
Because I know these
anyway,
are
guys, that's small. What we're going to do. It's starting this month, maybe as soon as next week. Maybe as soon as the next show with Doug, I'll be able to say exactly how to get it.
You know what? I have a feeling it's going to be very popular. I do. So there you go. And thank you, Kevin, and thank you, others, and thank you all. And thank you, Richard Proctor, for what you do. You know, the Provost Institute, bookmark Provost Institute, folks, and definitely take advantage of the books, all of the books there, including the Liberty series, because that gives you the background. Everything we talked about today, it's all interrelated. But you know what? The history of where we're at today is in the Liberty series. And folks, you need to know that. So thank you. Thank you for writing that. Thank you for, you know, thanks for putting up with me, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, no, no, no. It's the other way around. You're the chief. I do what you want, precisely.
Yeah, well, yeah. My wife says that, too. I like to, well, actually, no. You know,
that's the difference. That's the difference with me and you and you and your wife. You do what she says. I do what you say. See? So there you have it.
That's right.
That's how it works. Anybody who doesn't know that is not married.
Exactly. Happy wife, happy life. But I love her dearly.
Have a good day. Appreciate your help.
God really bless you, my friend. All right, folks. Care. That'll do it for us. Have a great night. Richard Proctor, watch for that coming out. I'm telling you, Saving the Constitution, watch for that. It'll be linked off of Hagman Report. It's exciting. All right, got to go. Have a great night. HagmanReport.com, HagmanStore.com for the gourmet coffee that helps fight against child and human sex trafficking. Good night.